Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me, and I want to share what like He just given me. I wrote on the board, trust in God. And I want to start in 1 Timothy 5 and 5, and I pray that the Lord would bring this alive to our hearts, because I believe it's a fundamental part of our life living for the Lord. The scripture here in 1 Timothy 5 and 5 says, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." You know, that simply means their hope is in God. We heard Sister Debbie this morning speak of the home that she worked in. And they have 20 patients or so with COVID. They did, or as I understand it, 20 people out, whatever that included. Number of the main and basic staff, and then the state shows up. You know, that's a terrifying thing when it's such a big deal and the consequences are great. And so Sister Debbie put out on the line, "I need prayer. We need prayer here." And she told us how that each time she began to feel anxious, she could feel what I believe she meant, the effects of those prayers. Feel the power of the Lord giving special help at that time. And I think about how necessary it is for us to have that kind of a lifeline with the Lord. The scripture here says this widow indeed is desolate and trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Her hope, her dependency, her desire is to the Lord. And from that she receives strength for her life. You know, this morning I want to encourage us that this kind of trust is a relationship between us and God that the Lord wants each one of us to have. And He wants it to go deeper and deeper all through our life. This is a place where God is wanting you and me to feel that strength from the Lord. We hope in His mercy. We hope in His blessing. We hope in His promises, don't we? That God will do what He said He will do. There's a lot of people in today's world that does not trust in God. Their trust is in many other things. It may be in their own mind. I can outwit everybody else. I can make the deal better than they can, and I'll come out with the money. That's one way, isn't it? I'm stronger than my opponents. Now, I'm not saying any of this about myself. I know better than that. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to have a confidence in God. God saved me from sin, folks. He saved my life from the pit that I was in. And He wants to save all of us from the pit that we might be in. And then He wants to become to us our strong strength. He wants to become to us the one that we go to when we get in trouble, always. And I want to begin with the scripture in Jeremiah 17 and 5. And I want to read this scripture. And listen to what it says. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." I want to tell you, there's many ways that we can depart from the Lord and put our trust in man. And this morning, I want to encourage us to ask God, Lord, I want this kind of life in my life. I want to trust in you. I want Lord, to know that you are my hope and you are my strength, not because I have to do something, but because I trust in you. Because the scripture says, cursed is the man that trusteth, and whose hope and whose desire and whose confidence is in man. And it goes on to say, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. I want to tell you, whatever we trust in besides God, we are going to find that it dries up our walk and our green life with the Lord. But when we trust in the living God, folks, we see things that nobody else sees but us in those situations. We see God work in ways the world knows nothing of. And so this morning, the scripture says, he shall be like the heath in the desert. There's not much there, I'm telling you, in the desert. We've been through the desert. We used to travel in the Southwest a lot. And I found that, I will tell you, you go through there, there's a lot of cactus. And there's a lot of things, but there's not these great, beautiful, bountiful trees that's planted by a river of water. That's not there. And so it says, and shall not see, shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness where there is no water, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's what happens when we put our trust in ourselves, in man, in any of the things of this life. It goes on to say, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. That widow, I heard Sister Debbie this morning, I'm telling you, that blessed my soul. That blessed my soul. Because I know what she's talking about. I want to tell you something this morning. When the Lord enables you, and the Lord gives you strength, and the Lord blesses you in many different ways, it is a blessing. It increases your faith. It causes you to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. It increases our witness to the world of what we're supposed to be telling them and giving them. And so Jeremiah goes on to say, blessed is the man, this is 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Now we look at the difference there between what Jeremiah just said about being like a heath in the desert, a dry little old stalk of nothing or whatever. I didn't understand totally what a heath was. I looked it up in the concordance, but you know, it had a little to say about it. But you know, this morning, what a contrast between putting your trust in man or in the things of this life and putting your confidence in God. He shall be like a tree. Let's see. As a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, just going to keep being green, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you know this morning the Lord said in Jeremiah 32 and 27, he said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Do you know this morning that God is able not only to make the worlds, not only to put those constellations of stars light years out there, millions maybe of light. How did he get them out there in a flash? How did God do that? Because he is that great. We believe that. And not only can he do that, but folks, He can take care of us too, can't he? Is there anything too hard for me? Isaiah says in 31:1, he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. Let's get the picture here. Military campaigns. He says, woe to them that get their help from down at Egypt instead of calling on me. There's a great difference, isn't there? And so he says, because they are many and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. I want to tell you this morning, folks, because I feel so deeply, and I always have, God wants us to trust in Him. He wants our hearts to believe in Him. He wants our hearts to look for Him, to Him for our help and our strength. Over in 1 Chronicles 21:1, just stay with me. 21:1, it says, listen to this little story here. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered. Joab was his chief, he was the head of his army. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. You know, the Lord just give, David, the Lord just make Israel way 100 times more. But why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, David? Why are you numbering Israel? Do you know why he was numbering Israel? None of us know for sure, but it's evident that he was wanting to know how much power he had. Was he fixing to go on conquest and go to other countries and all the... I don't know what was in David's mind, but I'll tell you what David did wrong. He was trusting in himself. That's what David did wrong. It was a wrong thing to do. Because, you see, so many other times, David called out to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Well, this time, he counts his men. Satan, it says, moved him to do that. And so, you know, this morning it goes on to say, maybe I should try to paraphrase this to keep from being too long here. You know, nevertheless, verse 4, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Now, Joab was not a very good man. Okay, he was not a righteous man. But he knew better than this. David, what are you doing? When he numbered the people, it says he didn't even number two of the tribes, Benjamin and one of the other, because he just couldn't get himself to do it. He was so disgusted that David was numbering the people. Why, David? And it goes on down to say, and Joab gave, verse 5, Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000. That's 1,100,000. That drew sword, and Judah was 400, 70,000 men that drew sword. So here he had over 1.5 million men. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, this is verse 8, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. You know, David realized a little bit late that he had done foolishly, because God punished David for that. He was really displeased that David would do this thing. And what was God wanting? I think God just wanted David to rest. God's going to take care of me. That's what he's going to do. You know, David wanted to know how much strength he had. Very different than the widow woman above that we read about, that through prayers and supplications constantly sought God. She depended on the Lord to help her. I want to ask us this morning, what's our life like? Do we know what it means to trust the Lord with our whole heart in our whole life? I'm not talking about a cliche or one little area. Folks, the Lord wants our confidence put in Him. He wants us to turn to Him when we get in trouble, when finances turn down. I believe God wants us to be looking to Him. Lord, have mercy upon me. And I'll tell you what happens when you do that. You sit back and watch God do wondrous things, don't you? I can tell you some wondrous things that God has done that way. I've seen it happen. I've seen the Lord open the sky when there was rain all around because we had to have some dry area to get some wood home. Folks, y'all have heard the story, most of you, but I want to tell you something. I've seen those times when the very reason that I didn't have a new truck at the time was because I had been doing the work of the Lord and the will of the Lord. I bought the truck with cash. But by and by, because I would not work extra hours knowing that the Lord had other things He wanted me to do. And when that time came, and I had a load of lumber that I could not pay for without getting it done, I want to tell you, I saw the rain. I saw it in my rearview mirror. I saw it coming. I saw it pouring. I saw it come around the sides and the other side, all around. I saw the sky. I'm telling you a story that I know happened. I saw the sky close down until it was just light above us. I unloaded that expensive cherry wood in the shop, and I was praying, of course, and the last three or four sheets got a few drops, and as soon as I was done, it began to pour. The rain poured and poured. I want to tell you something, folks. When we put our trust in the Lord and take His way, He works marvelous things in our lives. Then when the devil wants to take our faith away, no way. How can he take faith away when you've seen God do lots of things like that? I want to encourage us to look to the Lord to help us to trust Him more. I want to encourage us this morning to look to God when our troubles mount and when problems happen in our life, whatever they may be. Psalm 18, look at this. Psalm 18 and 1, it says, now this says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Oh, you know what words those were? David knew what he was saying. The Lord is my strength. He's my all in all. He said, I will love thee. O Lord, my strength, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God. My strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Oh, listen. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I want to tell you why we sang those songs this morning with such joy. It was a joy to put my hand up to those songs. Folks, I want to tell you, God had done great things. He has saved us. He hath delivered us. He hath healed us. He hath given us many things when we needed it. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. David knew what he was talking about. Saul hunted him. When he wrote this psalm, he knew the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. My cry came to him. I trusted in him. I loved him. He's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And when I get in trouble, I look to him, and he delivers me. And he said, listen to what David says. I don't know exactly what all this means. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God began to work. And David could only describe it this way. God began to do great things. Do you know that he does that when our heart trusts in him? This is not a rule I can give you, folks. I want to tell you something. You've got to find your walk with the Lord. Learn to take everything you have to God. And learn to hear his voice, folks. He will direct you, I believe, in the paths of righteousness. And he will direct you in paths that will bless your soul. And when you come out, your faith will not be diminished. It will be increased greatly. God wants to do that for us. But we've got to trust in him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In Proverbs 18 and 10, I want to read a little more here. Listen to what the wise man said. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now I want to tell you, if you're not righteous before God, if he hasn't cleaned us up and kept us clean, then we need to do that first, don't we? We can't expect God to fight our battles if we're not living for God. A lot of people say, well, you know, the scripture says, you know, everything will work for good. That's not what it says. It doesn't stop there. It's not a statement on its own. It says everything will work together for good to those that love God. Them that are called according to his purpose. I'm going to tell you, God works for his people. We've got to live for him too. And so, this morning, the Lord help us to live for him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And I want to talk about several things, okay? Because I believe this applies to so many areas of our life. It says, the rich man's wealth, it goes on to say, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and a high wall in his own conceit. Do you know this morning that we can trust in our situation? Do you know this morning that we can trust in that? We can feel confident. We can hope in the fact that we're well taken care of. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to hope, trust, and believe in the fact that God will take care of us. Whatever happens. And if he's allowed us to have millions of dollars, then the Lord bless us and cause us to use it for his glory. And not to set our hearts on it, folks. Don't trust in it. It's a real minus to us if we do. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. You know what, folks? This is Bible doctrine. He said, charge them that they be not high-minded, that they're not too lofty about it, that they're not too lifted up about it, that they be humble. You know, the Lord, we've got to be as low. Folks, the higher we get, the farther we fall. Before pride cometh before a fall. I just want to encourage us. I didn't think this message up. I feel like God began to give it to me. And so I was like, okay, Lord, it's what you want me to preach. It's what I'll preach. I want to tell you, it goes on to say, Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, that that's not their trust and their hope, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't that beautiful this morning? That's a wonderful little set of scriptures there. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That means willing to give to others. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, this morning, isn't that our goal today? We're wanting to lay hold on eternal life. Lord, I have to make it. I want to lay hold on it, Lord. I want, when I hear your voice, I want you to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've served me with your whole heart." Oh, this morning, God wants to do that for us. I want to look at another situation. Back in 2 Chronicles 16 and 10. It says, and Asa, let's see. Asa was a good king. Asa did much right and much good. But it says, listen to what Asa's life was like down at the last. It says, then Asa, verse 10, was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Asa somehow had forgot that God was all in all. He forgot. And so he became oppressive to some of the people. And it says, and behold the acts of Asa first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. You mean to tell me you need to pray about something like that? Well, the next verse says, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. I want to tell us that no matter what happens to us, no matter where we are at in life, let's turn our gaze to the Lord. Lord, I am in great need before you. I need you to help me. I need you to speak to me in this time. This is a very difficult time in our lives sometimes, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you, this is not a land of, I cannot tell you everything to do all the time. But I will tell you one thing. You better trust in God. You better look to the Lord. This man Asa, at the end of his life, he got lifted up some way and began to trust in himself. And it says he didn't look to God. He just went to the physicians. You know, it was a big mistake for him, wasn't it? We find he died not long after that. He sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. I want to read to us what James 5 says. It says here in 5 and 13, is any among you afflicted? Folks, I'm just reading scripture to you, okay? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. I want to ask you something. What do you do when something comes on your body? What do you do? James said, you pray. And I want to tell you some of the thought behind this. Because a lot of times we have needs, and God's wanting to get something to us. And sometimes toward the end of our life, it's going to be the end of our life, and God's wanting to humble our hearts. God wants to do those things, doesn't he? And sometimes it's other things that I don't even know. Maybe it's for other people. I don't know. God does those things. But listen, he said, James said, pray. And then he said, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I want to encourage us not to lose this. The scriptures tell us to do this. Call. It doesn't say for me to hunt you down. It says you call for the elders of the church. And it says, let them pray over you. After you've prayed, let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I want to tell you what, it was a great joy to me the other day. We went out to the Pearl of Grace Ranch because there was a girl there that had kidney stones. And they called and they said she wants to be anointed and prayed for. She had never heard of that, but they told her about it. And you know what? That was a joy. I want to tell you, when I told those girls about what God could do in your life, I want to tell you, he's interested about every aspect of our life, every phase of our life. And if we snip this thing down until this is what this means, folks, I want to tell you, it's a whole life of trust. It's a whole life of putting our hands in the hands of God. And I want to tell you, it develops a relationship between us and God. It develops faith in us when we see God do those things that he does. I want to tell you, no one can take those things away from us. I've seen some things that I don't care what anybody ever said. I know what I saw. I know what happened. A whole bunch of them like that. You know what? God wants to do that and develop our lives in him. And I want to encourage you to remember these things. Okay, do we do this? We should, because the scripture tells us to. It says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, that you may, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to encourage us this morning not to lose this. This is very precious stuff. God wants to be to you and me our all in all. And he wants us to come to him. Folks, he'll minister to our minds, our hearts, our knowledge. He will minister to us. I believe that and I know that. Seen it over and over. Oh, listen, God provides wondrously for our needs, for those that look to him and their confidence and their faith is in him. And our faith is greatly increased if we live like that. Okay? Now we can take a little piece of whatever this is and try to live like that. But I want to tell you, God wants our life to be a life that is full of trust in God. He's our all in all. He's there for us every time we need. When my feelings go down, and after a Sunday night, and I get to the end of it, and I'm exhausted emotionally, and I feel my feelings going down, and I know it's 11 o'clock. And the devil comes along and says, you said that wrong. You didn't speak to that person, and now they're upset. And you know, that person misunderstood you. And you know, the devil will do that, won't he? You know what? We have to stay upon our God. We have to look to the Lord to help us. Oh, I'm telling you, the life of trust will develop in you a life of belief in God that no man can take from you. I believe that. It's a whole life. It's a whole picture. It's a whole wad, a ball. It's a whole thing. And God wants to develop in us a trust and a love for the Lord. I know we're about out of time, but you know, sometimes the Lord will allow things in our lives, and sometimes he will send things in our lives. And whatever he sends or allows, he has a reason for that, doesn't he? Let's ask him, Lord, why? What about this? Lord, I need your help here. You know, I'll just tell this story quickly because of time. You know, Hezekiah was a man that served God. And there was a king, Rabshakeh was his name. He was one that was over a great empire. And he came down to Israel. And he told them, he told them, don't let Hezekiah deceive you into thinking that God's going to deliver you. And he went on and railed against the Lord. And he said in Isaiah, he sent Hezekiah a letter. Listen to this. Isaiah 37 and 10 says, "Let not thy God, whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria." In verse 14 it says, "Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And he prayed." And he said, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth." Hezekiah had lived for the Lord. He knew this to be true, didn't he? "Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God." Oh, I want to tell you something. Isaiah heard about it. And Hezekiah sent to Isaiah. The prophet sent back. You know what he said? He said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." This is in verse 21. "Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin." And he went on. "And the virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee." Do you know that this king had already captured almost all of Israel? He was coming down to Jerusalem now. But Israel had transgressed against God. They were not living pure and clean before God. And the Lord allowed this king to come in and take over almost all of Israel. And now he was come to Jerusalem. And you know what the prophet said? He's not, I believe it was the same place. He's not going to shoot an arrow there. He's not going to do any of that stuff. The Lord said, "I'm going to put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest." That's verse 29 of Isaiah 37. And on down in 35 he says, "I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." And it says, "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men." How many is that? 185,000. "And they woke in the morning and they were all dead corpses." God did that. The angel of the Lord did that. Is that murder for God to do that? Folks, we're in his hands. What might be murder for us isn't murder for God. He can take our life at any moment. We must always live in the knowledge of that. In the fear of God. When I see people becoming lifted up and becoming arrogant in their way and start speaking evil of God's people and things like that, it scares me. Because I want to tell you what I know. This same God still lives today. Oh, the Lord help us today. And do you know that he went home? And it says, "And it came to pass," he went home after 185,000 of his men got killed. "And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his God, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead." Folks, that's kind of what comes to us when we trust in ourself. And he had great words against the God of heaven. I want to tell us this morning, we better fear before God. Be a little careful of what we say of God's people and of God. Because I want to tell you something. I fear when I see it. I have seen the wrath of God also. Let's fear before God. If we're not saved, or if we have different ideas, I want to tell you something. You better fear before God. You better at least say, Lord God, have mercy on me. I know my life is in your hand every day. Have mercy upon me, Lord. I know there's a lot of other things we could say, and I'm going to wrap up here now. But I want to tell you, no matter what we get into, I want to encourage us this morning. If we get into financial things that we don't know what to do, look to the Lord for answers. Ask Him, God in heaven, I need help here. He may just supply in some miraculous ways you never thought of. He does that, doesn't He? God is like that. He will amaze us if we will trust in Him and have our needs supplied in a manner that will increase our faith and not decrease it. I want to encourage us all again, as I've said, have a greater level of trust in the Lord. It pleases God for us to do that. It takes a relationship with the Lord. I want to tell you very quickly about a man that had a relationship with the Lord. His name was Job. And everything in his life fell apart. His marriage basically fell apart. All those things fell apart. But you know what he said? Though he slay me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll still put my trust in him. I'll still look to him. I'll still believe in him. All this morning, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, this runs very deep in my life. Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. Don't underestimate the value of trusting God. Put your trust in the Lord and not in anything else. You pray for me.